We as believers anticipate being together, being in His Word, singing His praises, those things that are of Him. And yet, we're going to see in Scripture today that we as believers have something really great to be anticipating, that we should be eagerly looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to change us forever.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is a message of encouragement and hope about the future for those who claim the name of Christ.
Yes, it is, Dave, because we're going to look at the return of Jesus. So grab your Bibles and turn with us to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 20 to 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
What things do you look forward to? On a small scale, we look forward to maybe the all-church lunch, you know, or dinner, or seeing somebody that we haven't seen, whatever it might be. But on a large scale, we look forward to things at times and anticipate things that are pretty grand, like maybe someone anticipating a future marriage, or anticipating a child being born, or something that is like that, where you're looking forward to an event that you know is going to come, and you're eagerly anticipating it. Well, it's interesting. We as believers have different anticipations. You see, before I was saved, I just looked forward to my own time, my own stuff, my own free time, whatever it might be. It was all about me, whatever was pleasing me, even though I claimed to be a Christian. I wasn't at that time. And yet when the Lord saved me, He changed my anticipations, although our struggle and also are tempted with those former anticipations every day. Now, we as believers anticipate being together, being in His Word, singing His praises, those things that are of Him, those things that are good. And yet, we're going to see in Scripture today that we as believers have something really great to be anticipating, that we should be eagerly looking forward to. And we're going to see that we should be eagerly looking forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to change us forever. As you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to finish the chapter today, Lord willing. And we've been studying the book of Philippians, and we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21, focusing more directly on 20 and 21. Now, Paul is writing the saints in Philippi who are in Christ Jesus, as all saints are. And he's writing them. He is chained to a Roman guard 24/7. And he has prayed for them. His desire is that they would grow in their love for Christ and real knowledge and discernment. His desire is for them to understand the truth. He is confident that God will complete the good work that He has already begun. And the Apostle Paul has shared his circumstances, that he is in prison, but the gospel is not, that God is using those difficult circumstances for His glory. And he shared his attitude that to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is to serve the Lord, and specifically would be to serve these Philippians, to remain on. To die is much better to be with the Lord, and understanding whatever happens, whether in life or death, that Christ would be magnified. He then, in the end of chapter 1, addresses the Philippians' attitudes. They are to be united. They are to be humble. They are to be like Christ Jesus. They are to stand firm in the gospel against opposition, knowing the truth of what God has done, that we all are destined to suffer temporarily, but the reality is God is working to His glory through those events. They are to be, chapter 2, united in spirit. They are to be in unity in the context of humility, seeing Christ as the perfect example. God in human flesh, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then we see He was exalted to His rightful place, Jesus being Lord of all, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And then we saw that we should be obediently working on our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work in us. And then we have the first command after that tremendous command, that we should do all things without complaining and grumbling or arguing. All things. And then in the end of chapter 2, we saw three selfless examples of humility. the Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And then coming into chapter 3, the Apostle Paul reminding them, and then reminds us that there are threats to our walk with Jesus Christ. There are threats to our faith in Jesus Christ. And we are to beware. We're to beware of those false guys, the bad guys. Beware of the dogs, the evil workers, the false circumcision. And Paul then says, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. True believers, and obviously those who are leading in the church there, put no confidence in the flesh. Then the Apostle Paul gave his testimony. If anyone could put confidence in the flesh, it could have been him. And he lists off all those religious accomplishments and his heritage and all that stuff. And then he reveals that when he came to Christ, he considered all of that as refuse. It was all nothing, worthless. And you can't come to Christ without seeing your religiousness beforehand as worthless. You need to come in faith, completely trusting in him, not one bit of your own righteousness in there. And within that, we see the Apostle Paul sharing his testimony after coming to Christ. His desire was to know him, to be like him. And within that, we have the heart of Paul revealing the truth, his all-consuming passion to know him. And he pressed forward towards that goal, not looking back. The goal of the upward call in Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. And then we were exhorted also to do the same thing. To not go back from where we've come, to not slip back, but to continue to grow in Jesus Christ, and then to mimic the relationship, to copy in a sense, truly from the heart, the relationship the Apostle Paul pictured for us, as we see in Scripture. And we saw so clearly that the Apostle Paul revealed the Christian life could be summed up in a sense, it's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ through all the situations, all the circumstances the Lord allows. So with that in mind, we're going to see today how we believers are to walk, how we are to walk. If you name the name of Christ, if you're a true believer, how are we to walk during this temporal time on this earth? And today we're going to see that we should be eagerly awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus to change us forever. Well, if you're not there already, Philippians chapter 3, and I want to back up to what we saw last week and just read through that, and then we'll look at our passage also. Let's start in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And then our passage. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Tremendous passage we're going to look at today in verses 20 and 21. The reality of what God has planned for every true believer. It's a tremendous passage, and you might remember that this portion is not on its own. Verse 20 does not sit on its own. It is connected to what I just read. And so I just want to review very simply what we saw last week and then move into what we see in verse 20. You remember, we were commanded to walk the way the Apostle Paul walked. Verse 17, brethren, this is to believers, those who are in the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. You might remember we saw last week that you could literally translate it this way. Become continually, habitually fellow imitators of me. Now, we might think that's prideful. Paul is saying, be like me. Well, be like Paul as he follows Christ, as he trusts Christ and presses forward towards that goal, that upward call in Christ Jesus. He's not looking back, but pressing forward, the mindset of one who is following Jesus, who is still in the sinful flesh. Yes, we should follow what the Lord Jesus has done and see his examples in Scripture, but he is God in human flesh. And yet we see examples of those men and women beset by sin, yet trusted Jesus Christ. Examples in Scripture that we follow and mimic as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow and mimic from the heart. And so we are commanded to become continually, habitually fellow imitators of me. And I want to ask you, are you like Paul in the way you look at your circumstances? We saw so many passages in Scripture, just in Philippians, where we can look at how he responded as he trusted Christ. Are we like him in those things? How did you do this last week? Well, we fail. If you do, confess, be forgiven, and become more like Paul. He says, become fellow imitators of me. And within that, we also saw the command that we are to also observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. That term pattern we saw speaks of a type or a tupos, an impression by a mark, a blow. It's a copy. Look also at those who walk like Paul and be like that. Observe, scope that out. You know, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Hang out with those who trust Jesus. Hang out with those who are in his word, becoming more and more like Jesus. Hang out with those who are pressing forward, not looking back. Observe those who walk according to the pattern they have in us. And so we want to look at that. Those who have faith. We saw in the book of Hebrews, remember those who spoke the word of God to you. Those who led you, who spoke the word of God. And observe their conduct and the outcome of their faith. See how they trusted Jesus and how that manifested and how they responded to circumstances in their lives. We see this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Thessalonian church became imitators. They mimicked the reality of those who truly came to faith by really, truly responding to persecution rightly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. He's going to explain. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. The word was at work in you, and when you were persecuted, you endured in that, in Christ Jesus. You became imitators of other believers who trusted the Lord in the midst of persecution. And so we can see in Scripture who we are to imitate from the heart. But also we can see those who are truly following the Lord, not from the outside, but from the inside, and observe them who walk according to the pattern that we see in the Apostle Paul. Keep a watchful eye out for that. So how are we doing? Are we mimicking the truth of the way the Apostle Paul followed Jesus Christ? Are we doing that in our lives, seeing things from the same perspective, a heavenly mindset, not an earthly mindset? Are we doing that? Are we scoping out those who are trusting Jesus in the same way? We sang that song, Trusting Jesus, simply trusting every day. The simplicity of a devotion to Christ. It's not difficult. It is relying on him completely, believing in him completely, allowing his word to work in your heart, simply trusting Jesus. So then we have the positive command to pursue Christ's likeness, to imitate together, to scope out those who do so. And then, at this point, Paul shares two rationales why we should be doing so. We saw the first one last week, and we'll briefly review it. The first one was a negative rationale, and then the second one is what we'll see today in depth, which is a positive rationale for actually doing and obeying the command. You see, God says you should be obeying the command because those who don't are like this, and those who do are going there. He's going to share it. So here we have the negative rationale we looked at last week, and I'm going to briefly go through it. For many, remember the term for is explaining. If I say I went to the store for or because I needed to get some aspirin, he's explaining. Walk this way and observe them because the people that don't walk that way are on their way to destruction, but the people that are on their way to glory. That's basically what he's going to say. For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. We are to imitate those who walk like Paul. We're to imitate the walk of Paul, focusing on Christ, trusting in Him, not relying on their own abilities, not relying on their flesh, recognizing that the true believer puts no confidence in the flesh. And when we do, we're sinning, and we confess that. Walk like Paul. Don't put confidence in yourself. Don't put confidence in others. Put confidence in Jesus Christ. But he says, for many, in contrast, I've often told you, and now telling you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I believe in context, he's speaking of many who would say they are believers. That's the context here. Remember chapter 3, he's saying, hey, the bad guys, beware here. But the good guys do this. They don't trust in their flesh. They glory in Christ Jesus. They put no confidence in the flesh. There are many people who are what I would call make believers. Now, we're not to judge where people's hearts are, but sometimes we can see from what they say, right? We can understand. But Paul says here, many, as I've often told you, the reality is not everyone who names the name of Christ is a true Christian. Not everyone who names the name. And Paul often told them, even weeping, it broke his heart. I don't know if it breaks your heart to look out there and see so many people who name the name of Jesus, who live like hell. And what I mean by that, maybe not outright sin, they live like hell by trusting in themselves and relying in themselves. That's living like hell, by the way. For many walk, have a lifestyle, which here he says that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. It makes them effectively an enemy of the cross of Christ. And this breaks the heart of the Apostle Paul. Now, certainly this includes the false teachers they were to beware of earlier. Beware, 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 the false circumcision. We are the true circumcision, Paul said. But it includes many, those who would name the Lord's name, but not truly, truly follow Him. Not truly be on the narrow road. Not truly have entered through the narrow gate, Jesus Christ, through faith alone in Him. You might remember the Lord Jesus said, many on that day will say to me, Lord, Lord. Many say, Lord, Lord. Didn't we do all this stuff in your name? He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're still in your sins. I don't know you. You see, we only can know the Lord Jesus Christ in a real relationship when our sins are forgiven through faith in Him. So he says, for many walk the way they live. And whom I've often told you, now even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I'm not totally sure what he means by the enemies of the cross of Christ, but we can kind of understand. We see in some way they live their lives places them in opposition to the cross of Christ. It makes them hostile to what Christ did on the cross. He brought about forgiveness of sins and a relationship with Him. They're enemies. They're in opposition to the cross of Christ. You see, the cross of Christ is how we're saved, and it was nothing from us and all from God. Now, this implies here, as you look at the whole context, that they're not self-stated enemies, but their bogus walk makes them effectively enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, this is the walk of false teachers and false brethren, and we see that. It makes them enemies. An enemy of the cross of Christ is not simply one who states himself as an enemy, and here in this context, it is one who is an enemy because of their walk. And he explains their walk in a minute. And we're going to see they are those who are not pressing towards that goal because they haven't been saved. They could care less about Christ's likeness because they haven't been saved. They care more about their own felt needs, and their focus is on this earth alone. And Paul was weeping over it. He says they are enemies of the cross of Christ, and look at verse 19, whose end is destruction. That's what God says. The end of that road in trusting in yourself, relying on yourself, even religiously. Paul was very religious. He was the most religious guy around. If anybody could trust himself, look at him. He had the credentials. Whose end is destruction. They will be eternally destroyed in torment and punishment forever and ever because they rejected the free salvation, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see what they look like. It says their end is destruction. Now, you can go out and play games at church. You can go out and play games with people around you. You can say all you want, but God sees the heart. And if your walk is like these, as we'll see, continually, habitually, it's an evidence that something's wrong. The Bible is clear that there's a terrifying destruction, judgment, eternal punishment, fire, and darkness awaits those in whom Paul is speaking of here. He says, whose end is destruction. Now, I hate to say this, but there may be some here today who don't know Christ. And right now, your end is destruction. But that can change. Your end can be glory, as we're going to see. Your end can be glory with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Through faith in Him, if you will humble yourself, not relying on yourself in any way when you trust in Jesus Christ. And then that will manifest in your life by and large more and more as you trust in the Lord on a daily basis. And notice the description of these people. He says, first of all, whose God is their appetite. The term used here speaks of the natural desires. That's who leads their life, their natural desires, my feelings, my emotions, my desires. Do your emotions lead you all day long? Or do you say no to them in the power of the Spirit of God and allow God's Word to control you? Do you grieve over it when they do and you confess it? Because we do struggle. Whose God is their appetite. And notice he says, whose glory is in their shame. They glory in the things they should be ashamed of. He doesn't say their glory is their shame. It's glory in their shame. They glory in the things they should be ashamed of. You and I should be ashamed, and we are ashamed when we trust in ourselves. If you don't rely on Jesus Christ and you step forward and walk in your own strength, you should be ashamed of that. The Apostle Paul saw his self-reliance before Christ as refuse. He thought it was great. It was all gain, but it was actually loss. He says his glory is in their shame. And then he says, what we saw last week, who set their minds on earthly things. It's where your mind dwells every day. Is your mind on simply the things of earth, or are those things filtered through the truth that comes through the Word of God concerning the heavenly realities? We all can be earthly minded at times, but the non-believer is continually earthly minded. They set their minds on earthly things. Simply put, their minds dwell on the things of earth rather than things of Christ. They're not the blessed man who would meditate in the Word day and night. They are like the cursed man, the one who will not stand in the judgment, who will be blown away like chaff, Psalm 1. Their continual habitual mindset of a make-believer or a false brethren, although they may say they love Jesus Christ, although they may sing of Jesus Christ, their continual habitual mindset, which I can't see, you can't see, but God sees, is focused on the things of earth.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word and Your Son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know You, who still are in their sins,
that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.